Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are affectionately also known as WUF. My name is Brad Hewitt. I use the pronouns he and him, and it is my delight to serve as your lay leader this morning. Whoever and wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know that you're welcome here. Regardless of your age or abilities, the color of your skin, or where you were born. Regardless of whom you love or how you identify your gender, if you do. Whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. All of us, local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. I encourage you to check the announcement of upcoming events in the order of service attachment in your email and to join us for our virtual Zoom coffee hour at 11:30, when we will check in with each other, share joys and sorrows, and talk about today's service. If this is your first time visiting with us, please know you are especially welcome to be with us. If you would like more information about our community and the link to our coffee hour, please email our administrator. Her email address may be found on our website or the link below. This morning, we're taking a break from the chaos and the contention of the world around us, from the pandemic that has reshaped our lives and the aftermath of an election that also promises to have great importance. Today's service is all about music, about the healing power of music. And it is WUF's joy to share the music ministry of Matt Meyer. Hailing from Boston, Matt is a lifelong Unitarian Universalist with a long history as a musician and worship leader for UU congregations. In addition to traveling and leading music services all across the country, he serves as the Director of Operations for Sanctuary Boston, a contemporary UU worship community that meets on Wednesday nights. He's also a founding organizer of the UU Song Leaders Convergence, a gathering for all UUs who love community singing. These folks come together to share skills, best practices, and songs in order to build a more musical movement together. Attached to your order of service is a link that will connect you to them if you're interested in joining. There's also information about the instruments featured this morning. Welcome, Matt Meyer. And now, as I light the chalice, the Unitarian Universalist symbol of our shared and scattered faith, let us consider these words from David G. Allen. Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind. Please speak with me our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Let us enter together a few moments of silence for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as may be your tradition. I invite you to bring to mind or speak aloud the names of anyone you may wish to bring into this circle of caring and compassion.
The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea.
The opening song this morning is Blessed Motion, written by Annie Zylstra. She was inspired in part by the words of Martin Prechtel, who had survived an earthquake in Guatemala. He spoke of what it was like to have the earth beneath his feet, that which had always been so reliable, so permanent, suddenly in motion. He said the idea, the myth of solid ground is a myth believed by those who live on the earth rather than in it. These days it can feel like the earth beneath us is shifting quickly and in uncertain ways. And so I invite you into the spirit of this song. Please sing along at home. There's a high part and a low part, some call and response. Find whichever part works best for you, or make up some new parts or some new harmonies.
I believed in solid ground until I saw the earth in motion in the winds of steady change and the ever-rolling ocean.
Now the low part.
All moves on in perfect motion, all is change and ever rolling ocean. All
we'll do that part two more times. I'd like to share a story with you all this morning. This is a story about a young girl named Miriam. Now, Miriam was just about to enter the fourth grade, and she was thrilled, because that was the year in her school when every student got to learn an instrument and play in the school orchestra. And Miriam loved music. So on the first day of class, she showed up to the orchestra room extra early. She walked in and she looked around at all of the wonderful instruments. There was the giant bass drum, the beautiful violins, shiny brass trumpets. She wondered which instrument she would get to play in the orchestra. She saw her teacher, Ms. Berman, there, and she said, "Here I am. What instrument do you need me to play in the orchestra?" Ms. Berman looked at her. "Miriam, right? I think I've got just the right instrument for you." And she disappeared a moment later into her office and came out again with a tambourine. "A tambourine?" Miriam said. "Well, is that even an instrument?" "Well, of course," said Miss Berman. "Every great orchestra needs a great tambourine player, and you are our tambourine player." Well, Miriam took the tambourine, but for the whole rehearsal, all day long, she ended up just playing the same rhythm over and over. It went like this. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Can you all try that? Da-da-da-da-da-da. And the next day, the whole day, through the whole rehearsal, she just played that same rhythm over and over again. It went, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, the whole rest of the week, it was that same rhythm over and over and over. It went, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you might guess Miriam was not any more excited about the tambourine at the end of the week than she had been at the beginning. So that Sunday when she went to church with her family, she was feeling pretty sad about it. She sat down in her Sunday school class, and her teacher Mahesh noticed that she was looking down. He asked her about it. She said, "Well, I was so excited to learn an instrument and play in the school orchestra, but I ended up with the tambourine, and I just play the same rhythm all week long. It goes, da-da-da-da-da-da." "The tambourine," Mahesh said. He said, "Did you know that where my family is from in southern India, we call it a kanjira? Can you say that? Kanjira." He said, "People spend their whole lives learning to play the kanjira. It's a beautiful and complicated instrument. And every sound that you can make on the kanjira, you can also sing. And so people put the sounds, the rhythms of the kanjira together to make, well, to make poetry out of the rhythms of it. People write whole books of the poetry of the kanjira. Where I come from," he said, "the tambourine is an instrument for creating poetry and, well, beauty in the world." "Poetry and beauty," Miriam said. "Can you all say poetry and beauty?" Well, that doesn't sound so bad. After church, all the adults were running around at coffee hour, but Miriam sat by herself, and a family friend came to join her. Anna sat with her, and Anna remembered. She said, "This was the week you were going to begin the fourth grade and play in the school orchestra. How's it going?" "Well," Miriam said, "I ended up with the tambourine, and I just play the same rhythm all week long. It goes, da-da-da-da-da-da." "The tambourine," Anna said. She said, "Did you know that where my family is from in Brazil, we call it a pandeiro? Can you say pandeiro?" She said, "People have been playing the pandeiro for generations in Brazil. And in fact," she said, "when my ancestors were brought to Brazil as enslaved people, they would play the pandeiro as a way to bring the community together, to sing and dance and take care of each other even when times were so difficult. And they would even use the music of the pandeiro to secretly practice martial arts to protect themselves against the people that held them as slaves. Well, where I come from, the tambourine is an instrument for creating community and safety." "Safety and community," Miriam said. "Can you all say safety and community?" "Well, that doesn't sound so bad." So Miriam was thinking about all of this when she went back to school the next day. She saw her teacher, Ms. Berman, there, and she told her about the kanjira and the pandeiro, about poetry and beauty and safety and community. But she said, "I don't know what any of that has to do with me. I'm still playing the same rhythm all week long that goes, dot, 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 dot." "Well," Ms. Berman said, she said, "Miriam, do you know where your name comes from?" "Well, of course, from my parents." "Well, right," said Miss Berman, but you know who Miriam was?" She said, "In your family's history, there's a story of the ancient Israelites fleeing slavery in Egypt to travel towards freedom. And while they were making their way to on their path to freedom, when they were making that dangerous journey, they stopped to celebrate that they were on their way to a better place. And it was a woman named Miriam who got that party started with her tambourine. And women like Miriam in ancient Israel and all over the Middle East would play the tambourine for weddings and festivals and celebrations. In your family's history, the tambourine was a way of celebrating love and celebrating freedom. Love and freedom, Miriam said. Well, that sounds pretty good. Eventually, Miriam went on to try out some of the other instruments in the orchestra. She played a bit of the bass drum and tried out the violin and played some trumpet, but she always remembered this story of the tambourine. How all around the world, and all throughout history, people had taken the simplest of instruments they had in their hands and found ways to use those tools to shape their community, to create poetry and beauty, safety and community, to celebrate the journey we're all trying to make towards love and freedom. Part of what we do here on Sunday mornings when we gather to worship in whatever ways we gather is not just to come together and remind each other about the values that are most important to us, but to think together and even challenge each other to think of how we can use whatever instruments, whatever tools we have in our hands to shape the world around us, to create the kind of world we want to live in together. May it be so. These words from Mickey Scott Bay Jones in her Invitation to Brave Space. Together, we will create brave space, because there is no such thing as safe space. We exist in the real world, we all carry scars, and we have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify the voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and more love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be. but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side. I start off most days with a to-do list, usually scribbled on a post-it note in the corner of my desk. And on that list, most days is writing, but it's something I struggle to make time for. One of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott, talks about how hard it is, in fact, to just sit down every day and put your butt in the chair and make time for writing. She says the discouraging voices will hound you. This is all piffle, they will say. And they may be right. What you are doing may just be practice, but practice is how you're going to get better. Some of the best writing advice I ever got was from a teacher who said, for now, don't write. Just write what you would write if you were going to write. I sometimes feel like in all the years since I got that advice, I haven't written anything yet, but I have written a lot about what I would write if I did. You might call this the practice of practicing, learning how to practice. The demons of perfectionism stand in the way of good writing, just as they stand in the way of creative risk-taking in general, which is unfortunate because building a life for yourself that doesn't yet exist in any way requires some creative risk-taking. And certainly these days, being your best self, even in uncertain and anxious times such as these, requires setting aside those discouraging voices that show up. And perhaps even more so, trying to build a world of justice and equity and compassion when the fires are burning, when violence is still too much with us. Well, that requires setting aside the voices that say your efforts are just piffle. When the demons of perfectionism show up like that for me, I try to practice the practice of showing up for myself and for others. Learning how to practice has certainly been part of my journey as a musician. One of the requirements for all students at Berklee College of Music, where I attended years ago, was 4 semesters of ear training. Now, ear training is learning how to sing a song just by reading the notes on the page, and learning how to write down the notes of a song just by listening to it. Now, when I first began school, I knew that there certainly were people who were capable of this kind of magic, but it all seemed like some kind of Harry Potter nonsense to me. Like, you may as well ask me to make a feather float above my desk using a conductor's baton. I remember on the first day of that first ear training class, my first day of college, I showed up with a sort of nervous silence that fell over the classroom. Silence except actually for one student who was quite loud in his nervousness. This one student interrupted the teacher in the first few minutes of the first day to say that he was worried the class was going to be too advanced for him. He wanted to make it clear that he knew, in fact, not a single thing about ear training. Well, the teacher kindly interrupted his introductions to explain that we had all taken entrance exams and he was sure we'd been placed in the appropriate class. The teacher tried to continue, but was interrupted again. Well, the man said, "Is this the very lowest class? Because I need to be in the very lowest class." Now, you could tell our poor teacher looked around the room a little sheepishly, not wanting to answer that yes, we were, in fact, a class of the most basic students. He said, "Well, this is Ear Training 101, so it's just about the lowest. I guess there is a class for people that have previously failed the 101, but you all are just about the lowest." Now, some of the other students giggled a little bit at this man's anxieties. But I was actually kind of glad to hear that someone was questioning the absurd notion that sight singing could be taught. I don't know what happened next for that student, but he actually never came back to our class. Not because anything we did on that first day was in fact too hard for him, I'm sure of it. But I think he just lacked a belief that improvement was even possible. I kept going, thinking that if other students had done this before, it must somehow be possible, and I committed to at least practicing the material. I've always remembered that other student, though, who gave up before he'd even started. It's not just that he didn't try and become a master ear trainer. It was that he didn't even try the practicing of it, which always struck me as the real loss. When the discouraging voices hound me, I sometimes think of that student and remind myself that maybe for now what I'm doing is just practice. But practice is how I'm going to get better. These last few months have been a time of uprisings calling for change in our country, calling on those of us in power, which in some ways is all of us, to play a different role, to learn a new tune, to learn some new skills for our communities. Particularly for white folks, this is a time to practice some new skills and learn to play a new role in our world. It's a time for studying up on the racist history of our country and the racist present of it. It's a time for listening in deeper ways we haven't always done so well before, and a time for having hard conversations we haven't yet practiced enough. Fellow white folks, if you hear people of color making demands these days, I invite you to practice amplifying those demands by repeating them in calls to your representatives, to your colleagues, and to your family. If you've inherited wealth that was accumulated in a time of systematic segregation, which is true of all wealth in this country, now is a good time to practice giving it away. If your muscle memory has been to call the police when something goes wrong, now is a good time to practice something different, learning new skills for community safety and accountability. I know I won't all of a sudden do all of these, but I will practice the doing of them. Let us practice together. Musicians know as well as anyone that muscle memory is very real, that consistent practice changes the very structure of our brains, rewiring our circuitry and forging new connections and new possibilities. No one is born a musician. Even elder birds need songbirds to sing to them and teach them the tunes. Practice doesn't make music perfect, but it makes music possible. And so let us practice the practicing. Let us learn to practice together in community, in relationship to each other, calling each other to more truth and more love. Practice won't make the world perfect, but it makes a better world possible. Someday I want to be a true expert in compassion and justice when anxiety moves in the air like a storm. Someday I want to be well practiced at creating brave space even when there is no such thing as safe space. Someday I want to be well practiced at amplifying the voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. And these are daunting tasks, to be sure. On most days, learning to transcribe a symphony seems more manageable. But that's okay. For now, I don't have to do all of those things. I just need to practice doing what I would do if I were doing them. So, dear ones, don't promise to be your best self today. Just practice being the person you would be if you were being your best self. Don't try to create a new world in the shell of this old empire this week. Don't try to forge a perfect world of love and compassion this month. Just do what you would do if you had committed to such things. You have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We all have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. And so let us start together. Let us grow together. And let us practice together. May it be so. Our closing song is "Let the Life I Lead Speak for Me." I originally had learned that the song was a traditional folk tune, but it turns out that it was actually adapted from a 70s R&B group, The Consolers.
Let the life I lead speak for me. Let the life I lead speak for me. When I'm lying in my grave and there's nothing more to say, let the life I lead speak for me. Thank you. righteous before me. When I'm lying in my grave, there's nothing more to say, let the love I share speak for me. Let the life I lead, let the life I lead speak for me. Let the life I lead.
Beloveds, don't try to be your best self today. Just be the person you would be if you were practicing being your best self. Don't try to build a new world in the image of love this week. Just do what you would do if you had committed to such things. You have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We all have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. And so let us start together. Let us grow together. And let us practice together. Go in peace, go in love, and go and be blessed as you are a blessing to others.
We pause in remembrance of those who have served in our military in times of peace and war. In the words of John F. Kennedy, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. As we extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our time together, may we resolve to carry with us the warm glow of its flame and all that it stands for as we make our way through the coming week and all that it brings. And may we meet again in a spirit of peace, love, compassion, and health.